We'll begin on page 26, and now you have all the notes for the remainder of this second section. And we probably won't get to the end, but I wanted you to have them just in case. We've looked, just as a quick review, at discipline, the heart of discipline. The heart of discipline, the centrality of the heart. We're addressing or shepherding heart issues. We're not simply changing behavior, although you need to address behavior. So the heart of discipline is the heart itself, because that's where all sin originates. So we've looked at the heart of discipline now, and that was just some theological time in God's Word, looking at what the Bible says about our sinfulness. So you see that theology is applicable. Theology is necessary. You just took a theology course in hamartiology, the doctrine of sin. So now, number two, the help for discipline. The help for discipline. This is where we stopped. There are two directions by which we address heart issues in children. Think of them as two sides of the same coin. Or I mentioned again that ski machine, the Nordotrack, where you're always working in both directions to get something done. Unlike the ski machine, when you work in these two directions, you will get somewhere. So you're working in two directions. These two directions, or these two sides of the same coin, are listed there beside letter A, the rod and reproof. Those two blanks are the rod and reproof. Or another way to think of these two is corporal discipline. Corporal discipline, that is, physical discipline. Corporal discipline and corrective discipline. Corporal and corrective. Two directions by which we address heart issues. This is clear in Proverbs 29, verse 15 and 17. Solomon says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." Both, the rod and reproof. If you erase one of those words, you're lopsided. If it's all reproof and no rod, then you're lopsided. If it's all rod and no reproof, you're going to be lopsided. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Discipline your son with the rod and reproof, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. That comes in many ways, but as I've told you last week, really some of the most delightful times I've had with my children are when we've had to correct disobedience with the rod and reproof. Those have been sweet, delightful times. And I ask my children every now and then, because most they're pretty much beyond the spanking years now, I ask them, what are your thoughts? What do you remember about those things? And for the most part, they have delightful memories. They see the benefit in them. Notice the weaving of physical discipline with heart issues in Proverbs 23. So look in your Bibles, Proverbs 23, for a moment. If you don't have one to share on with somebody next to you. Proverbs 23. I'm going to begin in verse 13. We can't expound all these passages right now, but I just want to highlight two things. I want to highlight physical discipline and heart addressing the heart. Because again, rod and reproof, we're trying to handle both of these things. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners. So 13, 14, you have discipline. 15, 16, 17, you have heart. But continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. All the day. Look at verse 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. And then he begins talking about outward actions. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Interesting. I'm really good about pointing out and condemning drunkards. I'm not quite as quick to do that about gluttony because I'm better at one than the other. So physical discipline is attached to heart issues. And what you're going to see as we work through this section is when you have to discipline physically, we also want to correct them at the heart level. Number two there, as we begin the never-ending task of shepherding our child's heart, we must travel both directions. We must use both methods, the rod and reproof. The rod was never intended to be used without reproof. Now, there are times, we're going to see in a minute, where you move away from the rod and you get into only reproof. Right now, with younger children, it may be more rod and less reproof. And there are times when, even when they're younger, you have to just give some verbal correction, maybe because of where you are and what time it is, and you don't have time for the rod as well. But generally speaking, the rod was never intended to be used without reproof. A perfect illustration of this, I posted the video clip on Facebook a couple of days ago, and it's that great clip from Andy Griffith. It's episode 21, season 3. I looked it up, so you can go find it. Opie and the Spoiled Kid. You remember that episode? Opie meets a friend who's rich. He's from Raleigh. And that rich friend teaches Opie how to throw a fit so he can get his way. So this is why you're not making enough in allowance. And this is why you're not getting to do what you want to do. You need to learn how to throw a fit. You need to learn how to get your way. And so he shows him. He flops down on the floor and shows him how to kick and scream and throw a tantrum. And so Opie tries it on his dad, and it goes nowhere, right? In fact, you do see a little bit of neglect because Andy doesn't address it. He just almost ignores it. You know, what are you doing? Get up off of there, that sort of thing. Andy doesn't perk up and address the issue until Opie smarts off to him and makes a demand. So you kind of see a little bit of neglect there. But then the father comes in with the rich kid, demands his bike be released from custody, and just lets his child continue to be a brat until Andy confronts his father and threatens to put him in jail. And his son, of course, continues to mouth off. And in this moment, at the end of the episode, the rich father realizes what his son has become, and he realizes his neglect. He's been, you know, not much rod and not much reproof at all. And Andy suggests, you know, we have a woodshed out back. And the father says, you mean an old-fashioned woodshed? And so he takes his son out back. The best line, Opie says, is Arnold going to get a spanking, Pa? And he says, yeah. He said, you think he deserves one? And Opie said, well, I better not say. He is one of my own, you know. But you kind of see both extremes. The father went from not doing anything to pot. Now, we don't know what happened at the woodshed. That's not the point of the episode. To taking him out to the woodshed and wearing him out, or whatever phrase we use. We want to make sure we find a balance between the rod and reproof, between physical discipline and corrective verbal discipline. Look at the top of page 27. What I believe we've seen in the past 50 years or so is a total reversal, from one unbiblical extreme to another. Now, this is just my perception, and there's really no one in here that can verify because none of us are much older than the others. But years ago, the idea was fathers jerked their children up by the scruff of the neck, carried them behind the woodshed, and wore them out. Cruising for a bruising, you know, whatever terminology our parents used. No talk and all pain. No talk and all pain. That's how it used to be. Today we see just the opposite. All talk, no pain. Parents are talking themselves blue in the face without imposing any physical, painful discipline on their children. Both extremes are to be avoided. And I see both extremes. I've seen parents simply swat and spank their children without any kind of correction. And I've seen parents talk to their children with absolutely no response. And both extremes are to be avoided. And it's harder to strike this balance now. I have in my notes, she's made the news even more now. Just last week when I thought we were getting to this point, I had the article where the woman in good old Arkansas in Hot Springs was arrested. A grandma was arrested because she used a switch on her granddaughter. Now, she used it on her arm, which wouldn't be my suggested area of spanking, but she didn't hurt her, didn't draw blood, just a couple of little welts. And they and the granddaughter threatened to call the police, and the grandma said, "You call the police." And she did, and the police took grandma to jail. And thankfully, they let her out, and everyone is behind the grandma because she disciplined her child for disobeying. And so it's harder and harder to do this right today, because any kind of physical discipline is going to be seen as child abuse, and we're going to address those issues, how to do it right, as we continue through here. Another difference I want to point out is the difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment and discipline. I want us to use less the word punishment when it comes to our children and use more the concept of discipline. It's not, you're not sinning if you say, "I need to punish you," but I just want to help you understand the difference. Sorry, I got this wire creeping down my shirt. Tripp says in Shepherding a Child's Heart, "The biblical concept of the rod is not the parent exacting retribution for the child's wrong." The blank there is retribution. R-E-T-R-I-B-U-T-I-O-N, retribution. It's not payment due. He says many parents have this punitive mindset. In other words, you're paying me back for your disobedience. You're paying for it. Rather, they see discipline as the child paying for his sins, rather than correction having the positive goal, not retribution, but the blank there is restoration. The positive goal is restoration, but instead most parents have the negative goal of payment. So just summarizing that, our discipline is not exacting retribution. They're not paying for their sins. The goal of discipline is restoration. Restoration. It's a positive goal. We're wanting to restore them to right fellowship with who first? The Lord first. You sin against the Lord, so we need to make that right. And restore their relationship with you if they've disobeyed mom or dad, and then if they've sinned against brother or sister or someone else. It's restoration. Here's another way of stating this. Bruce Ray, in his book, Withhold Not Correction, says, "God punishes the wicked, and there is no room for repentance." He's talking about those who have rejected the Lord. "But God chastens his children." Now, here's why we use discipline or chastening and not punishment. Because punishment is for the wicked. Punishment is for the wicked, not for believers. God chastens his children. While punishment and discipline may at times take the same form, yet the purpose is vitally different. There is grief, pain, sorrow, both in punishment and in discipline. But the difference is that in punishment, there is no hope. In punishment, there is no hope. But in chastening or discipline, the whole purpose is correction. Correction. That is important for us to realize. Let me say this in another way that's not in your notes. The reason I don't punish my children is because if they're believers, their sins have already been punished. Right? Have your sins been punished, believer? Who paid for your sins? So the Sunday school answer, who paid for your sins? Christ Jesus on the cross. So, now again, if our children aren't believers yet, or we're not sure if they're believers, you're still teaching them this. We're not going to punish you, dear. We must discipline you to correct your behavior, but we're not punishing your behavior, because you know what? The Lord Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross to pay for your disobedience and to pay for mom and dad's disobedience. And then again, there's a leeway into the gospel, how we explain the gospel to them. So we don't punish our children. We discipline our children. God never punishes you if you're a believer. Don't ever say, if you're a believer, "Oh, I think God's punishing me." I'll tell you, no, he's not. There is no condemnation, Romans 8, verse 1, for those who are in Christ. No condemnation, no punishment. If he's punishing you, then why did Jesus die on the cross? So we're not being punished for sin, we're being disciplined for sin, just like the Father disciplines us. We'll look at those Hebrews references in a moment. So how the help for discipline is the rod and reproof. Let's look at the rod top of page 28. What is the rod? What is the rod? This is a great definition that broadens it for us from, again, shepherding a child's heart. He says, the rod is a parent. The rod is a parent in faith toward God and faithfulness toward his or her children, undertaking the responsibility, now note this, of careful, timely, measured, controlled use of physical, now he's using the word punishment, but this, what he's talking about, discipline, physical punishment, to underscore the importance of obeying God, thus rescuing the child from continuing in his foolishness until death. Rescues the child from continuing in his foolishness until death. I hope you underlined careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment or physical pain. Not grabbing them up, not going behind the woodshed, not wearing them out, none of that. Careful, measured, controlled. That's the definition. The rod, number two, prevents sin. The rod prevents sin. Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Folly or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Every child, by the way, not just yours. But the rod of discipline drives it from him. Drives it from him. Folly is in the heart of our children. The same reason it was in the heart of all of us, because of the fall of man. We inherited Adam's sin. And if we let our children go and grow without any kind of discipline, it's the same as if we let our garden grow without tending to it. Thorns and thistles will naturally grow. You don't have to plant them. Same with our children. If you don't discipline, then folly will continue to grow. Proverbs 19, verse 18, discipline your son while there is still hope. Do not set your heart on his destruction. So to not discipline your son is to set him upon destruction. But if you want to save him from destruction, you want to discipline him. And while there is hope, this is the importance of starting early. By the way, I'm going to address this when we get to kind of the how-tos of physical discipline, but let me say this here. If you have not at all or very, very rarely used physical discipline, and you're thinking, you know, I need to do this. I've been failing in this area. And your children are 6, 7, 8 years old, please don't start right away with this. Don't go home tonight and say, we're starting it from scratch right now. We're going to talk about how to go into that, but if you're there, come talk to me before if you can't wait till next week. But we do need to discipline while they are young, while their hearts are tender, while their hearts are moldable. Charles Bridges tells us why in the box there. It's far better that the child should cry under healthful correction than the parents should afterward cry under the bitter fruit to themselves and children of neglected discipline. Let them cry under healthful, healthy, helpful correction rather than us cry under the bitter fruit of our neglect. And you know that. You know people. You know parents that would say, I didn't do due diligence when they were young, and I'm paying for it when they're older. Proverbs 23, do not withhold discipline from a child. Can we say that together? Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. This is good for our children. I'll never forget when AJ was young and we were disciplining him. We have a little rod. It's kind of like, it looks like a short belt, but it's stiffer so that you can control it better. And it doesn't hurt. It just stings and it doesn't leave marks. But once when I swatted his little bottom, the end of it kind of curved around. And somehow when it curved around, it just popped it a little harder and left a bruise on him. And it's one of the first times that's happened. And I was just mortified that I had, you know, beaten my son, and I was upset. And I was working at Family Life, thankfully, so surrounded by guys and ladies in family ministry. And I went and talked to Bob Lapine. He was my boss, and he has five children of his own. I said, Bob, I spanked my son the other day and accidentally left a little bruise on there. I feel terrible. And he very calmly and comfortingly read Proverbs 23 to me, verse 13 and 14. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. He will not die. Now, again, this, we don't have time to flesh this out, but this is not talking about beating our children. It's not talking about that. And don't even listen to those who say it is. I'm going to give you, before we're over, a longer article on physical discipline written by a guy. It's the best thing I found on using the rod. It's just longer, so I want to be waiting until I give that to you. Brian Shortley says, here's someone that's not quite as old as Charles Bridges, someone who's still alive. God says that one's child, he's reflecting on Proverbs 23 there. God says that one's child will not only survive discipline, contrary to what our children will tell us, he will survive because of it. Because of it. Yeah, I'm hearing it. That's the truth. We survived, didn't we? And our parents didn't always do it right. I would never say my dad beat me, but my dad wore me out. He whipped off his belt, no control, no temperament, no measurement, no timeliness. He whooped me. He left me to waller in my sorrow, and I survived. I survived. That's not how I'm going to do it. That's not how you need to do it. But we survived because of it. Letter D, top of page 29. Our children need more than direction. They need more than direction, but also correction and protection. They need more than direction, but also correction. Why do they need more than direction? Why can't we just teach them good things? Why do we need to correct negative things? Why do you think? Okay, it's the put on, put off principle, right? Put on, put off principle.
God disciplines his children because he loves them. Mm-hmm. So if we don't correct, I mean, we're not really being loving.
Okay. Why can't we not just give them, why can we not just feed them with positive input, Bible verses and so forth? Why do we need to correct the negative? I'll give you a hint. Remember the condition of their hearts?
They're sinful.
Yeah.
They're always going to struggle with it. So if you don't teach, I guess if you don't teach them how to handle it on their own, mm-hmm. they'll never know how to.
Yeah. And not only that, they're, you said, rebellious, they're sinful. They're not morally neutral, as the psychologists tell us. Remember John Locke in his psychology book says that children are a blank slate. They only need positive influence. But no, our children aren't a blank slate. They aren't neutral, letter E. In fact, they are going in reverse. Our children, just like us, are going in reverse from the womb. Look at Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth. Here he's talking about wicked, any who are outside of Christ. All of us at one time were among the wicked. They go astray from birth. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have done what? Gone astray. We know that verse. We each have turned everyone to his own way. Now, here's a great parenting, discipline, gospel-centered verse. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Excellent gospel verse. Let's kind of compare your child disobeying. This is the reason we need correction, not just direction. And we haven't started talking about the direction yet. We've been talking about the correction. But let's compare it to your child maybe falling from the monkey bars. So I want you to think of the rod, think of the correction or the rod as stopping them in their fall. In other words, when my child falls from the tree limb or falls from the monkey bars, I'm not going to say, you should have dried the sweat off your hands sooner, and they fall and they hurt themselves. No, that's not the time to correct them. Okay, they're falling. I need to stop them. I need to catch them. Discipline, using the rod, is stopping them in their fall. It's correcting them in their fall. Then we can give them direction. Next time, you need to dry your hands off before you go across the monkey bars. Next time, you need to make sure the tree limb isn't dead before you step on it. You don't say that as they're falling. You need to catch them and stop them first. So the rod prevents sin. Number three, the rod proves sonship and love. The rod proves sonship and love. This is what I think Jeff was referring to a moment ago. When we couple these passages in Hebrews that we're going to look at and the passage in Revelation is right there, 3:19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. We'll get a well-rounded picture of the place and purpose of physical discipline. So let's look at Hebrews 12 for just a moment. This is another key parenting text that you might have marked in your Bibles as you're disciplining your children. This is why our parents, maybe they didn't use this passage, but why our parents say, I'm spanking you because I love you. Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, listen to the father-son imagery here, the parental imagery. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Do not be weary when reproved by him. So there's discipline and reproof. Why? Why should I not be weary? Why should I not regard it lightly? For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. If you, my friend, are under the discipline of the Lord, that is a good thing. It's showing that the Lord loves you. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Well, there's no son that the father doesn't discipline. Verse 8, if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. If you are never disciplined by the Lord, it could be that you do not belong to the Lord. Besides this, verse 9, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them, or at least many generations did, maybe not anymore. For they disciplined us, shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? So it's an argument from the lesser to the greater. They disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he, God the Father, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. We discipline our children so that they may share in his holiness. We are agents of God's authority, disciplining them. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. I mean, these are verses to read with your children when you're sitting on the bed, when the discipline is over, and you're reminding them of why you're doing this. But later, this may be one for mom and dad, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This is a promise that discipline yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. By the way, we'll talk about it again, but James 1, verse 20 says, the anger of man does not produce what? The righteousness of God. This says discipline produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Not anger, not discipline in anger, but discipline in love. Bottom of the page 29. For our children to be without this sanctifying influence of the rod is for them to be as unclaimed and unloved illegitimate children. He's simply reflecting on this passage in Hebrews. Parents who seek to show their affection by setting no restrictions upon their children are in reality treating them as illegitimate and unwanted. If you do not discipline your children, brothers and sisters, you are not loving your children. You're not loving them. A couple of thoughts here just to temper this back a little bit, lest you get all gung-ho. Charles Bridges says, the rod is medicine. The rod is medicine, not food. It's the remedy for occasional diseases of the constitution, or constitution being behavior. It's not the daily regimen for life and nourishment. In other words, don't spank all the time, every time, no matter what. To convert medicine into daily food gradually destroys its remedial quality. What does he mean by that? Yeah, if you're always spanking, always doing, even if you're trying to do it right, it loses its legitimacy, it loses its effect. We use the rod, letter B, we use the rod with our children. We do discipline and correct them because we love them. And oh, please tell them this often. Tell them this often, that you love them. That's why you have to discipline them. And show them these Hebrews 12 passages. Listen, the Lord disciplines me, buddy, because he loves me. So he disciplines me so that I will partake in his holiness and produce the fruit of righteousness. And so mommy and daddy have to discipline you, sweetheart, because we want you to produce this fruit of righteousness. One last caution there. Do not spare the rod. Do not spare the rod, but be sparing of its occasions. Be sparing of its occasions. I think that's J.C. Ryle. I don't want to steal that from him. Be sparing of its occasions. Now let's talk about reproof. And then we're going to come back and look at how to use them both. I mean, I'm going to give you step-by-step guidelines of how to do this. Reproof is biblical correction and instruction. It is using the scriptures to address each act of disobedience, using the scriptures to address the heart issue behind each act of disobedience. It's using the wise words for mom's chart. It's using your Bible. It's using Proverbs. It's using other passages that you need to have bookmarked and highlighted in your Bible. Remember, you want to go in the room with the rod and the Bible, or at least have it hidden in your heart so that you could share God's word with them. A good teacher, for example, will help you find the right answer on your test when you get it wrong. Or a policeman will let you know what you did wrong and why, rather than just writing you a ticket for breaking the law. In a similar way, so too, parents need to instruct their children as to the hows and whys and whens of their disobedience and what is expected of them afterward. What is expected of them afterward. In other words, now we're saying, don't just discipline them, you need to correct them. Don't just spank them, but tell them why what they did was wrong and how to correct that. Here's a couple of biblical examples. We've kind of mentioned this put off, put on principle. Hannah's mentioned it. Not right here. I thought it was right here. But Ephesians 6. Here's a good way to reprove our children with scripture. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? I would write in there, why? Why do I need to do that? For this is right. It is right. Honor your father and mother. So now Paul is quoting the commandment, fifth commandment. This is the first commandment with a promise. Here's another reason. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so we would tell our children sometimes, sweetheart, do you want things to go well with you? Do you want life to go generally well? Then you need to obey mommy and daddy, for this is right. It honors the Lord when you honor your mother and father. Children, obey your parents in everything, says Paul in Colossians, for this pleases the Lord. This pleases the Lord. We have to be careful here that we're not trying to teach our children that they can earn God's love with their obedience or lose God's love with their disobedience, but there is a sense in which our obedience pleases God and our disobedience displeases him. Proverbs 12:22, letter C, Proverbs 12. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So there would be a put off, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Oh, don't you want to be a delight to the Lord? Then we want to act faithfully. Put off lying. In order to reprove your children with the Bible, letter number 5, top of page 31, this requires that you know your Bible. It requires that you know your Bible. So make margin notes. This is one reason I read the Psalms and Proverbs. If I don't have time to do longer Bible reading, I at least want to try to read a chapter of Proverbs or a chapter in the Psalms, because the Proverbs are so practical, and I can make little margin notes in here and highlight them and remember them for parenting. So read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Whatever day it is, today's the 6th, so read Proverbs chapter 6. And read that every day, and you'll read through the Proverbs every month. And you'll get tons of nuggets of wisdom to use in parenting. Use the wise words for moms. There's a picture of it there in your book. I gave away copies of that last week to all you moms that didn't have a copy. But there's still some in the book that you can buy. There's $3 or $4. It gives you a behavior to address, a scripture to go with it, a put off and put on scripture. So we're using reproof with the rod. We're using correction with discipline. We're using the Bible when we're using physical correction. I'm going to spend more time on these two passages later, but let me just remind you again, moms and dads. James 1, verse 19 and 20, I said this a moment ago. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Let's apply this to our parenting and our correcting. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And it's sure not going to produce righteousness in you, and it's not going to produce righteousness in your children. Do not discipline your children when you are angry. Do not. I would say it's better that you do not discipline them at all than to discipline them in anger, especially if you're still using physical discipline. Get your spouse to do it, or what I'm going to talk to you about later is go somewhere and cool off. Say, buddy, I need you to go to your room and wait for me. I'll be in there in a little bit. And go and cool off and gather your thoughts. There's other reasons to do that that we'll talk about later. Colossians 3:21, also Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, of course, this applies to mothers, but it's significant that he addresses fathers. Do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. You do not want discouraged children. You want happy, healthy children. John Piper, in his sermon on this passage, Colossians 3, he made this comment there in the box, and we'll end with this. The goal of a good father is to rear children who are not discouraged. That's what Colossians 3 says. The word discouraged implies losing heart, being listless, or the blank is spiritless, disinterested, moody, sullen, with a kind of blank resignation toward life. And maybe your children are not like this all the time, but you see when your anger rises, they start losing everything. The expressions go out of their face. So what's the opposite of being discouraged? Well, the opposite of being discouraged, Piper suggests, is being hopeful. Leave your children with hope. The opposite of being discouraged is being happy. The opposite of being discouraged is being confident and courageous. When we go through these step-by-step guidelines of how to discipline your children, I'm going to tell you, and I've already told you again, this is not false advertising, but there is a way that your child can leave the discipline process smiling and happy when you do it right. When you do it right. So next week, we're going to look at the relationship between the rod and reproof, how to use them, and how eventually the rod decreases as reproof increases. And then we'll go through the step-by-step means of discipline. And we'll finish that, Lord willing, next week. By the way, we won't meet here, of course, for VBS week. But next week, we will meet. Any questions?